United States of America, and to the republic
which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming. First up tonight, a presentation for new budget for 15-16.
So we're moving.
Yes.
Is there?
There isn't.
That's perfect, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so good evening and welcome to our, one of our presentations regarding the budget process and the budget development of where we stand currently right now as of March 30th, 2015. We've kind of delayed the process a little bit because due to the fact that state and the state aid runs haven't come out clearly, there has been really no direction on the governor and where we're going to be with additional aid or the same amount of aid or less. The good news is, as of last night, there was a deal struck between the legislative branch and governor. The particulars of that deal are really waiting to be seen, but from what I understand, it's about $1.6 billion in additional funds coming to school districts in the form of state aid. So we're hoping the next couple of days we can really see what that means and what that shakes out to be for additional aid for Weaverton, hopefully. So today we're going to give you, as based on this morning, where we stand. There'll be some unknowns. I think the unknowns, just in the idea of moving forward with additional state aid, is only good news for us. So we're going to talk a little bit about where we are right now, budget development, a little bit about tax levy. So as I said, when those numbers shake out for us, we'll see more of what that tax levy is going to be for us in regards to use of revenues, in regards to state aid, so that it may make some changes at the end in regards to what we use as fund balance and reserves, okay? So with that, we'll continue. Budget development process, just an update. Today we have this meeting. April 7th, we'll have a formal presentation, which will be our final presentation to the public. It should not change much other than if there's any questions this evening or any state revenue aid that's gonna be coming to us to make some changes by then. And then hopefully for the April 14th time, we have the ability to adopt the budget because we have to have the all the legal notices out and things like that for our budget vote, which is in May. A little bit of a history, the 2015-16 projected enrollment is fairly consistent with what we have currently right now. It's not changing much. We have a small 12th grade class that is graduating, particularly small. The students coming up to the high school next year from 8th grade are a little bit larger, so the high school have a little bit more enrollment, but everything else is pretty much stable in regards to the number of students within the school district. So that's a good sign for us. Enrollment by grade levels, as you can see, we plan on our pre-kindergarten program being about the same level it's at right now. Kindergarten, those students moving up from pre-kindergarten to kindergarten and all the way through. The grade 9 students coming in is 53, the grade 12 leaving is a little bit lower than that. So not much of a change, but still about the same level. Looking back in the 14-15 school budget, this is just last year's where we stood. Our budget was $22.2 million. The increase in dollars was about $756,000. The increase in percentage, it was a 3.7% increase last year. We had a tax levy of $12.7 million, or an increase of $158,000. Your tax levy increase last year was a 1.26%. And we just put some of these figures of last year's state aid and other revenue of 8.5. That includes the state aid plus other revenue sources, such as interest and other areas that we recuperate some money in revenue, generate revenue. It's important to see this because the 1.26, based on the ridiculous calculation that we were given last year in Weaverton in regards to our allowable tax levy, which was 1.12, I believe, somewhere in that level area. We did go out for public support and got the supermajority of 60%, thankfully, which allowed us to continue delivering our program at the level it's at. So, but it was 1.26, which again is below the 2% cap. Not everybody thinks 2%, but when it breaks down, it was right where it was above what we needed to be, but below still 2%. Taking last year's budget and adding this year's fixed cost, we call them. We have contractual obligations. That's all of our contracts, our benefits. We'll see about another $200,000. Some miscellaneous items, debt service, vendor contracts, JACE. These are actually additions and subtractions, but the net is about a $45,000 increase. Our BOCES number and line has gone down, and that is regards to some BOCES services that we're not going to be using in regards to possibly student programs, some special education, student with disability programs that maybe students have graduated out of or have been declassified out of. Saves us some money there. So our BOCES cost, even though BOCES budget is going up a little bit for us, the overall cost for BOCES in regards to services we're going to be using for them is a decrease of about $189,000. That also includes the business official position in there, which we've been talking about. ERS and TRS, if we're familiar with what's going on there, ERS is employee retirement system, TRS is teacher retirement system. We anticipate a savings of about $42,244, and that's pretty much coming from the TRS side. There's been some savings recognized at the state level, it's across the whole state, in TRS, and the ERS is going up minimal. So we see a savings of about $42,000 for a total budget-to-budget increase of about $537,000. So if you take the breakdown of last year's adopted budget and this year's fixed cost budget, we have a budget-to-budget increase that totals $21.7 million. We've also had some program requests from the administrators and directors, specifically related to student program. We have a need for academic intervention services or an AIS teacher at the EBIS. And currently right now, we have a number of students that have moved up from the elementary level into EBIS that are in need of some services based on their state scores. And those students are right now receiving a program and instruction from a teaching assistant, which doesn't particularly meet the state mandate of the academic intervention service, although we've been making do. Their request has been for an additional math academic intervention teacher. They've also requested, based upon new state legislation and new state law, English language learner teacher. They have changed the requirements for English language learners, and districts all over New York State are dealing with this and are really balancing these mandates by the state with what they could afford. This is one that all school districts are going to be seeing increases in their English language learners because they changed the requirements. So the principals have noticed that and notified us that they're in need of an English language learner teacher. Currently, right now, we are meeting that standard that mandate with a teaching assistant also. So we are in need of it without that legislation. With the new legislation, we're definitely in need of the teacher. Naviance Guidance Program is a program that we had here a few years ago back in Weaventuck. It's a guidance program to help students with college and career readiness to start thinking about where they're going to go to school, what their trade's going to be, what their course of study is going to be. It also helps with students that are applying to colleges. This is a program that they can apply, and it's an online type of program rather than filling applications out by hand. This will help them streamline the process. The hope is that it will, one, get our students at the EBIS 7th and 8th grade into high school more prepared for what they want to do for college. At the same time, it will assist students in making sure that we are meeting the requirements for them to get into the colleges they want in a much more streamlined process. This will be helpful to our students. And as we saw last meeting, the principals suggested this program to us. So those were the considerations. There were a number of other considerations from all the other departments that we looked at. We weighed about what can they wait? Can we find a different way to address their needs without adding cost to the budget? And I believe in all discussions, we've met those needs or held off and said, let's develop a different plan. So what is the board supported in regards to the budget? The board, in listening to the presentation by administrators, are in support of the EBIS Math AIS position, are in support of the ELL teacher, English Language Learner teacher, and are in support of Naviance. If you add those costs up, you'll see that I have a zero for the Math AIS teacher, because in looking at program, in working closely with the high school principal and the intermediate school principal, we looked at what can we do differently, shuffling the deck of our that we have currently right now of staff, without going to the budget and asking for increase in budget by redistributing current teaching staff. The high school, middle school, or intermediate school worked very closely, and they found that they could redeploy a current math teacher in our high school into that position without increasing the budget. So we are meeting the mandate, we are meeting the request of the administrators and the need of the students, but not increasing the budget because we're found it within. So I applaud the staff in doing that, because every person or every dollar they ask me to increase or to find, I ask them, is there a different way they can do it? And here's one example where they found a way without going right to the budget. They did some homework. But that being said, we are going to have to fund the ELL teacher, which bachelor's step one plus benefits, we estimated about $80,000. And the Naviance program is $7,000. So there will be an $87,000 increase in what the principal and administrators need. If you add those together, which was the 15-16 proposed budget of fixed cost, plus the program request, you're looking at a total proposed budget of $21,874,000. Some change. So we knew that would be too much. So we went back to the principals and said, okay, that budget right there is a little too hefty for what we're looking to do. Last year, the community did support our budget and our request with going over the tax cap and getting the supermajority. The board felt it very strongly that they would not want to do that again to the public. They wanted to give the public as much as a break as they could, and asking them to come back and support that going well, the budget, the tax cap would be difficult. The board asked that we wanted to be in compliance with the tax cap levy. So we had to go back, even though we support program, because they wanted to try to give, again, the opportunity for our taxpayers to really get their feet back on the ground and make sure that we would allow them to be eligible for the refund check with the state's program. So the board asked us to go back and said we want to support, but how can we do that? We looked at different budget savings and efficiencies. We've met numerous days working with every director, every principal, going over every line item in the budget, going over where they've spent money the last few years and where they maybe have some money budgeted that they haven't been using, asking them why. Is it just because they're being prudent and making sure that they're not spending their money, or is it because they may budget for it and are not using it, and that's some place we can tap into? So after meeting with principals, directors, and having those meetings, Cynthia and I, working with them, have cut about $162,000 out of line items. And we'll show you what those line items are. And then what we call program efficiencies is we ask the principals and directors, again, subsequent meetings, up until last week, to find ways within their budget that they can, or in their program, that they can make do with doing more with less, really, what we gave them direction. Where can we look to make some changes in regards to personnel, where we may have some duplication of services, or just, again, thinking outside of the box, becoming a little more creative, where we can look to make sure we can give the most efficient budget possible, but still delivering the same amount of services. At the same token, the board's direction was, if we were going to do that, we do not want to affect student program. We do not want to take away student field trips. We don't want to take away from budgetary items that are for student program, that assist teachers in the program and in their everyday teaching. And also that goes for buildings and grounds and athletics and everywhere else. In doing so, the principals came up with efficiencies, which we'll share with you, to the tune of about $379,000, $380,000. So in those cuts and efficiencies, we've saved about $542,000 that we feel very comfortable will deliver a very strong program to our students if we attend. What are some of those line items? And you can see here, these are summaries of them, what they're really what codes they're coming out of. And those are really the account codes that are the broad codes. They're individual codes where we maybe took $1,000 here, $500 there, and we added them up just to save you guys looking at every line under what major code they came out of. So Board of Education, $4,000. We'll see a big number in Central Services, which is about $43,000. Operation and Maintenance and Maintenance and Plant, about another $12,000. That's a big number. That's probably the biggest number on there, and we'll tell you what that really was. We had some money in substitute codes, really in operations and plants that we saw for 3-4 years that was not being tapped into. So there was money there for people to come in as substitutes, which really was well over budgeted. We worked with, at that point, Bob Eastman and subsequently Mark Lounsbury as he came back, and both agreed that we could make some adjustments to those codes. We felt very comfortable. So as you go down, the next sum of the big items were instruction. You'll see about $17,000 in research, planning, and evaluation. That was really put in probably about 2 years ago, a big number in our budget. And that was to assist with all the testing that was coming down from the state. I think we're meeting that requirement by the state through other ways where that money can be pulled back a little bit. There's still some in there. But the amount of testing and the amount of budget for that testing, we felt we could shave off the $17,000 and be comfortable. You'll see a $23,000 line item, which is computer-assisted instruction. We've been very fortunate that we've outfitted our schools and our classrooms with lots of technology. There have been a number of grants out there that we've done that with. So you guys have done a really good job of tapping into those grants. And at this point, we feel very comfortable that the money that we've put forward regards to technology has taken us to where we want to be. There's also a smart schools grant that's going to be coming down the road that we can start moving some money around within our budget to offset what that smart schools money is going to be covering. So we cut that by $23,000, and Craig Trachtenberg feels that that's something that at this point we're okay doing. So right there you'll see at the bottom about $162,000 savings. These are the difficult ones, because when you talk about program efficiencies, and I say it's program efficiencies, I don't call these cuts. I call them efficiencies, because cuts would mean that there's major impact to program for students. I believe that these efficiencies can be done without major, some impact, but not major impact to student programs. So I'm going to start off with the teaching staff. We're going to be reducing the teaching staff 1.8 positions, and those 1.8 positions are the following. 1.0 special education teacher. Currently right now in our model we have a special education teacher on assignment that's helping out with the student services and doing some CSE meetings, and an administrative restructuring model that I think that we can move forward with as we develop further. I believe that we can take that teacher and put that teacher back into classroom setting, so she is delivering services, therefore being able to reduce the current teacher that's in that in the program. We have a couple of years ago, I believe, decided that we were going to phase out German. We are in the second to last stage of that phase out. The board is committed to make sure that the students that are currently enrolled in those programs continue to be serviced and get the instruction and curriculum that they've been signed up for a couple of years. Last year we went from 8.6 to 8.4. In the next phase we're going to 8.2. That's a reduction of a German teacher, which still allows our students enrolled in the program to finish their sequence. So we should be proud of that. The other one is a 0.6 music reduction. We've looked at the number of students in the district. We looked at the number of wonderful programs that our music program supports. At this time, looking at schedules and looking at the way we deliver our music program, I believe it's very possible that we can reduce the 0.6 position in music. This will have some effect on students in regards to, really not students. This would be more that the music staff will have to readjust their schedules, readjust their program, where I believe they can still deliver the same amount of services to students in a different fashion. That's been looking at, we're talking with principals and looking at schedules, and it's something that we will continue to look at and try to make sure that we are not substantially affecting the program generally. We are reducing 4.0 full-time equivalents of teaching assistants. Many of these are through some of the things that we added in regards to the Math AIS position. Currently, we have a teaching assistant servicing our students in Math AIS at the EDIS school. If we go forward with the full-time teaching position that we've talked about, moving from the high school down to the intermediate school delivering those services, we can feel comfortable we can cover that position in the Math AIS for the TA. The ELL position, if moving forward, we go forward with the teaching position in English language learners, we believe we can reduce the ELL teaching assistant that's teaching that section right now. There are also some program efficiencies recommended by administrators. We have some teaching assistants currently right now that we have utilized very well, but I think that we have some excess in that area in regards to we have small class size numbers and we have teaching assistants working in some of those classes, which is great. What we're going to do again is just maybe share a teaching assistant per grade level instead of dedicating one per grade level. The elementary principal and EBIS principal feel very comfortable that that can be done again without much change to student program. We have two teaching aides. We have a CSE change of placement where there's a student that exited the district, so that teacher aide with that student is no longer needed. And then again, changing some of the efficiencies in the program where we have, again, some good people working on some great programs, but if we can just make the program a little bit more efficient and maybe change some schedules, we can reduce one of the aides, and the principals felt very comfortable with that. We had a retirement of the bus monitor, and we're not going to fill that. Jerry, our bus head bus driver, or department head, feels very comfortable that he can rearrange some routes to make sure that they're efficient, and that can reduce one of the bus drivers or bus monitors. And then we have a part-time clerical staff. That's one part-time clerical staff. That's not one full-time equivalent. And right now we have a number of people covering the elementary school in regards to clerical, and the building principal feels very adequate, very comfortable that 1.5 people can fill that position, not 1 and 2 full-times. So he felt very comfortable with that. And then some retiree breakage. We have a couple of, or at least one veteran teacher that's retiring, and replacing that veteran teacher with a new teacher is something that we believe we recognize some savings, and that's where we came up with the $500,000+ of efficiencies and savings. Doing so, the proposed budget, again, that we had brought to you with the request from the administrators and directors was $21.8 million. We've cut out about $542,000, which gives us a very reasonable budget of $21.3 million, which is not much more than the budget this year, and we'll see those numbers going forward. So what do we do? And now we take the anticipated revenue. So now that was budget. Now we're going to start looking at levy, and the levy that we're going to be talking about is we take the adjusted budget of $21.3 million. Over the last few years, this board has done a really good job of making sure that we, any fund balance that's recognized in the previous year, we give back to the taxpayers. Many school districts don't do this. Many school districts take maybe part of the fund balance or stash that away into further reserves. You guys have done a really great job over the last few years of making sure you give back to the taxpayers, so you should be proud of yourselves. State aid and other, which is no increase. It's actually a little bit of a decrease of about $40,000. And that is state aid at this point. We left at the same level as last year. We also found that we've lost some revenue in regards to interest within that category. It's not state aid, it's called state aid and other. There's some interest lost there of about $40,000. And believe it or not, what we've recognized is the state aid that was reported last year and budgeted for was actually less when it came, the ones came in August. So there's some reduction there. That gives us about a 13.449 left balance that we have to find a way to fund. The tax levy at the cap, again, I want to stress it's not above the cap. This is a 50% majority plus one. It will allow our taxpayers to qualify if they're eligible to qualify for the tax rebate. And this was a board direction that to stay within that cap. Generates about $12.9 million in revenue in tax levy, which if you subtract, we still have a shortfall of about $510,000. And that is concerning for us because we need to talk about how we're going to meet that $510,000. The possibilities that were given to the board were a balanced approach, and the board felt comfortable with this. except the bottom one. They did not want to increase the tax levy, reasonable, because they wanted the tax ratepayers and to the eligible for that refund that also stayed below the cap with the levy. Some more budget reductions or look for some additional revenue. So our response, and it says first response, it probably was 1,000 responses we talked about within the school district, but the response that we're proposing to the board and to the public is the following. There's a $510,000 shortfall. We, we're banking on additional state aid. We're hoping that it's at least $150,000. If it's less than 150, we'll have to find another way to make up the difference. If it's more, we can use less of the bottom numbers or add it back to the reserves. We've consistently used OPEB fund. And OPEB, Cynthia, is
other
post-employment benefits, which for a number of years we've had a very nice reserve. Our auditor said we need to spend some of that down. For the last few years, you as a board have decided to use it to help reduce some of the budget, which is great, or some of the levy. And then we're going to ask, which consistently over the last few years, you've used some reserves that total about $150,000 to continue to use that $150,000. If all that plays out well, we would have a zero shortfall. We've met our direction of keeping the levy at 1.66%, which is at the cap. Some of the balance of some of the OPEB reserves, our OPEB balance would be $458,000, which our reliance on that over the last few years is going to, in the future, cause us to really look at that fund and see how we're using it. We should have some reserves in there, but we've been tapping into it, as I said, to get to lower levy. That's something that a GPC is going to run out if we keep doing that, so we'll have to find alternative ways to do that through efficiencies, through more state aid, or more reserves. Our reserves, using the $150,000, will be at a 1.172 balance, million balance. And our hope is that if we get more awarded more than 150,000, that should be a zero. I've looked at this a billion times, and I've never noticed it. It should be $150,000. If we get more than $150,000 from the state, then that reserve, we can put money back into the reserves to increase that reserve balance. Here's one that can be a little confusing, so I want to explain it the best I can. This is what the difficult part has been over the last few weeks, is to try to figure this number out. But I can give you, and I'm going to tap into Cynthia's knowledge on this because she's much more versed in it than I am. Looking at last year's budget, you'll see $21.2 million. Our proposed budget after all the efficiencies and savings is $21.3 million, which is a dollar increase of $81,000, $920. That is an amazing number when you talk about increases in salaries, increases in health benefits. Because of our efficiencies and what we've done, we've only raising the budget $81,000, which is a 0.4% increase budget to budget. And I challenge any district in the area to come up with that number. The levy, which last year we collected $12.7 million in levy. This year, allowable, we're allowed $12.9 million, which is a $210,000 increase. It's a 1.66% increase. So what I've been asking, and I've been asking Cynthia and the former business official and people around the area, is if our dollar increase is only going up $81,000 on the budget, why is our levy need to go up $210,000? And that's a number of reasons. One is, there is less state aid and other that is coming in. If you remember, there's about $40,000 to $50,000 in regards to other in that code or that revenue source, which is really interest in some of our numbers coming back is less. As I said, at the end of last year when the budget was presented, the state aid runs were not finalized. So we actually over budgeted our state aid based upon numbers that were given at the time when the runs were coming out. But when they were finalized in August and we received numbers, there was a substantial number less. And then also some of the revenue sources we used. Last year we used about $450,000 in OPEB funds. And as you saw, this year we used about $210,000. So that's where that would come from. If we increase more OPEB, which I suggest we don't, or more reserves, it could lower the increase of the levy, but then you're tapping into monies that you're going to use in the future to help offset those. So did I explain it pretty well?
Mm-hmm.
Judy? You got a question?
I do, and this is my problem. I know you've only been here 2 months. The $450,000 that we took out of OPEB last year was for a one-time expense. It shouldn't be in the budget to be raised again this year. So essentially, that $450,000 went toward nothing to lower the budget last year. It was an expense that was a targeted expense. So what we've really done is take $210,000 out this year that is going to be applied toward the general budget. So I don't understand where the difference is. Budget levy, it doesn't matter. The levy is what's left on the budget. That $450,000 from OPEB did not go into the general budget or levy. It went in to keep from raising the levy for the septic system. We don't need that $450,000 again this year for the septic system. That should be an encumbered amount that's in there, and we don't need to raise it again. So I don't understand, and again, I know you weren't here.
That's okay, no, we're trying to
I don't understand how this is ending up this way.
So the question is, the $450,000 that was used for OPEB last year was put in to cover the expense for
the septic system. One-time expense shouldn't be in our budget this year.
Which is interesting, because in all of the conversations we had with the former business official, that was never once mentioned.
And that's my problem, since we didn't get to talk to the former business official.
What we were told that it was used to offset the expenses for the health care.
We had $450,000 increase in health care we didn't expect?
No, that we did expect, but we're not taking out of that line. It's being reduced from the OPEB line to spend that down.
$2.1 million?
Can you repeat that, Cynthia?
Yeah. The $450,000 is being used to offset the expenses for health care. So what's in those budgeted lines for health care are being covered by the OPEB. That was the explanation that we received. It's being covered, used to offset those expenses. So those expenses will roll over and stay in there, and that becomes part of the fund balance.
So we had $450,000 of unexpected health care expense this year?
It's not unexpected.
Well, then what did we need? Well, why didn't we budget for it then?
It is budgeted for, and they're using OPEB instead of spending the money that's budgeted in that line, spending down the OPEB money so that you don't have to spend that money.
That isn't what we took the OPEB out for.
Well, that what you just said is the first time we've heard that.
Well, I'll be spending yet again more of my time going back to look through the minutes and listen to the tapes, but that is what we took it out for. And I will be, as a matter of fact, I just have to remember when, but that's what we were told it was coming out for. Not health care, not anything. We were told we could pay for the septic system by taking $450,000 out. And I know that neither of you know that, because neither of you was here then.
No further expense for a district.
That's right.
So we wouldn't have to borrow any money.
Cynthia's right on with her explanation. The explanation I was told was to keep the fund balance at the historical rate of $2.1 million that they have done for a number of years. Last year, they took the $450,000 of OPEB and applied it to the healthcare expenses so that the healthcare expenses would be overstated by $450,000, which would then give you back your $2.1 million.
So
that's how it was explained, correct?
So we put that money back in.
You can't do that without asking the board.
We're working with the numbers we have now, which I understand. The good news, the reason why we went into the discussion was to discuss the increase of $81,000 budget to budget, but $210,000 in regards to the levy. And the reason is being because we're using less revenue than we had in the past. That being said, great news, the budget's only going up 0.4%. Even better news is that the levy is at the point where the taxpayers are going to see a 50% plus one need, not a 60% supermajority, and it allows the taxpayers to be eligible, if they are eligible by STAR, to get their rebate which is the difference. So let me explain that for those of you who may not know. If your taxes go up $200 in a year in 15-16, somewhere in the fall, which they said this year turned out to be more like December or January, you will get a rebate from the state for the exact amount that your taxes went up. If you're eligible, you don't even have to apply for STAR. If you're eligible to STAR, which means you're a homeowner, it's a home that's your primary home. Businesses are not eligible for STAR, Bill. But you will get a rebate. So this year in my district that I live in, the taxes went up substantial. And come January, I received a check for the exact amount that my taxes went up. Which next year, that's something that is a concern because it builds off of next year. But hopefully these efficiency plans and these programs by the state to try to really level off taxes for the homeowner is still available. This is makes them eligible, and it makes us eligible. Also, with an efficiency plan that we're putting together with Orange, with Dutchess County, which I was at a meeting Friday, and I know Cynthia was at a meeting last week. We are more than sure that we're going to meet the efficiency plan of the state through our Dutchess Process Consortium. So it's good news.
And they don't group us with towns or villages?
No.
This year, like they did last year?
I'm not sure that last year you were given the correct information. I can't speak to that. I know that it's school districts are different than they're separate. So the town did it, they would get a rebate. The school district doesn't, they get a rebate.
So we're not grouping it?
No. Proposed budget summary again. The summary is it's a $21.3 million budget, which is $81,000 more or 0.4%. Again, I challenge anyone in the area to have a 0.4% increase with still maintaining and actually adding program to our school district in math and AIS and ELL and Naviance. The levy is $12.9 million or $210,000 increase, 1.66, which is meets the criteria of the allowable tax cap set forth by New York State. It does qualify the homeowner eligible for STAR to receive a reimbursement from New York State. Any questions?
I'd like to thank you both for doing as good a job as you possibly could with the information you have in front of you. There's a very easy way to check the explanation we were just given on what that $450,000 was taken out for. Just look at the budget for the year 13-14 for healthcare. See if that line item increased by $450,000 in 14-15. If it didn't, then that explanation doesn't hold water. So we need to find out what's going on.
We'll check it tomorrow. We'll check that tomorrow. Yeah.
And if it did, we were not given the correct information.
I'll check on that.
That
being said,
but I again, you guys have done a great job.
No, I think it's been a moving target with state ed. It's been a moving target with coming in with some of the data and finding it out, but I have to give credit to Cynthia. She's done a great job of it. I have to give credit to our directors and our principals because I think for the first time in a long time, they were asked to do something they hadn't done before, and that was think outside the box and try to find efficiencies, some difficult decisions. Not everyone is going to be happy in the community, but at the same token, I think the overall majority knowing that we're delivering a very strong program to our students with some additions, and at the same time making it as affordable as it can be for the taxpayers, something that we've accomplished, set forth by your direction, so I thank you for your direction.
Right now that the budget's been passed and they have the projected proposed increases, how soon is it usually till they left the district?
Usually it's within a couple of days, so I'm hoping by the 7th we have runs. They know how desperate school districts are, school districts are setting their budget, so I foresee it happening by April 7th. And April 7th, I may be coming to you here telling you that the money was much more than we thought, or right at what we thought, or that's a little bit below. I think it'll be at least at the 150 that we put in, hopefully more. And if it's more, we have decisions that we can make. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
move on down to the consent agenda. Is there anything anybody would like to have pulled?
There was a late entry, if I may.
Two late entries.
There were two?
Yes.
The two that are highlighted? Yes, and they're both highlighted. One is a teaching assistant resignation. And the other one is, we have a staff member who's in a position at the bus garage, who is a office assistant dispatcher, and she has been ill. And we've been filling that with a bus driver at a much higher rate than we would if we just hired a clerical. But because we don't have the position, we're asking to create the substitute position of office assistant dispatcher. And it's at the clerical rate, at the same rate as a clerical person.
I guess I don't understand, what is the position of the person who's out?
It is a office assistant dispatcher.
But
there's no
she does
substitute.
Office work
no
and
substitute.
Dispatcher.
Got it.
Because she's been out.
So we can't put a clerical in there because
she's the one who's in the COVID.
Doesn't the substitute have to make the same rate of pay, though, as the person in the position?
No.
No.
Just step on.
Teachers don't make the same.
We have some sub-rates in the contract, if I remember correctly. We have substitute.
They may have a problem with it, Judy, but our answer to them is we believe that most of the job at this time of year is clerical, and it's something we could evaluate in the future.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what is her time frame of a day that she works? How many hours?
It would be a full day.
Well, she's a bus driver as well, so how she got a bus?
No, this wouldn't be a bus driver. That's the problem. They're using a bus driver at the bus driver's rate. It's interesting. We did a whole, I broke it down, and I really got overturned by the entire office staff. I was trying to show them that if he's only a bus driver 3 hours at $18 an hour, that would be cheaper than the clerical rate. But when you add in overtime and all that, it's a couple dollars more an hour they were making. So this is clear. It gets cut and dry. He's not choosing to not fill someone. This is, you have a substitute, and it's a full-day substitute. If you tell me you don't need a full-day substitute, that means to me that that's something we need to reevaluate in the future.
Okay.
No. 4.02, the substitute, or the resignation, is that included in what was presented in the budget?
That just came today, so that would save someone's position. It just came today, right?
Yeah.
And even though I realize it's a teaching assistant instead of a teacher, this is somebody who's done a very good job for the district, and I would like to pull it so we can say thank you while she's leaving.
Okay.
I guess that's the only one.
Okay, so
it's
401.
Yep, 401. I mean, teachers aren't the only ones we should pay.
You know, one of the things we used to have in my former district for people that had, I think it was 10 to 20 years of service and resigned or retired, they gave them a gold card, which allowed them to any event free. So if they came into a play or they came into
a
sporting event, they got it for free. Something we could look at again in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Is there anything else?
Taxes free for a year.
No, you're fine.
No.
is there anything else anybody else would like to pull? Or we all set? Okay, can I have a motion? To take our consent agenda as approved.
As amended.
Okay, and amended. Okay.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
Okay. Motion's made. Second. Hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody else? The ayes have it.
Thank you. So I guess we're right up to 4.01.
Yeah, okay. So you
want to? Yeah, I'd like to move that we accept her resignation with regret and best wishes. Stacey has said that she's moving. She's the one currently helping out with ELL, and she's stepped into a position that, we were in trouble for. So appreciate that. Appreciate what she's done with the kids.
She's been here for years. Did you say she's moving?
That's what, yep.
And I hope it's something exciting and wonderful for her.
Absolutely. So. So I move that we accept that resignation.
Second.
Motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it with many thanks. Looks like we're down to executive session.
Moving right along.
Okay. Reconvene public session. You have nothing for executive session? Okay. Okay,
we probably, yeah.
Meet just a few minutes, discuss race appointment. Yeah, just about right, just for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because we have customer lawyer.
Actually, if you wouldn't mind staying for 1 minute, I'd really like some information on one thing.
I have no problem.
Thanks.
All right.
So we're going to executive session.
So we'll go into executive session to discuss, for the purposes of discussing a particular person's employment and for discussion of negotiation of contract.
So I just want to say, I personally haven't had enough time to digest the information you shared. So.
Okay. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Very good.
Anybody second?
Second.
Motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Did you make that?
I did.
Thank you.